Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Save big on everything for your outdoor projects at Menards. We have everything you need to take care of your lawn. Revolutionize your lawn care routine with Menards Premium 4-in-1 Lawn Fertilizer. This one-step solution prevents crabgrass and kills and prevents weeds while keeping your lawn green for up to 4 months. Save big money on Menards Premium Fertilizer. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
At first, the apartment didn't seem different from any of the others. It was the kind of place college students ended up in because it was affordable enough, close enough, and temporary enough that no one expected too much from it. It wasn't somewhere anyone planned to stay for years. And because of that, a lot of the usual red flags were easy to ignore. If the walls were a little thinner than they should have been, or the fixtures felt older than the leasing office made them sound, none of that mattered much. It was a place to sleep, keep your books, and get through the semester. That was how they treated it in the beginning. She shared it with a roommate, and like most people living that kind of life, they settled quickly into a routine that made the place feel familiar long before it felt like home. There were classes to get to, work shifts to cover, late nights studying that turned into sitting around talking instead, and the usual traffic of friends, food containers, laundry, and half-finished plans. It wasn't glamorous, but it worked, and for a while there wasn't anything about the apartment itself that seemed worth noticing. If anything, it just felt lived in. That was why the first incident stood out so sharply. It happened in the middle of the night or early enough in the morning that it might as well have still been night. Her roommate woke up to a text message at around 3 o'clock, which would have been strange enough on its own because neither of them had any reason to be messaging each other at that hour. What made it stranger was the text itself. It had come from her number. The message was short, written in all caps, and direct enough that it didn't read like a mistaken send or a half-asleep thought. It told him to wake up. That part alone would have been enough to start an argument the next day if it had been intentional. The problem was that it wasn't. She had been asleep. Not just in the vague, unprovable way people claim they were asleep when they don't want to admit to something. She was the kind of person who barely used her phone for anything beyond what she had to. The kind of person who still held onto older habits long after everyone else had moved on. Even sending a normal text took more effort from her than it did from most people, and the idea that she would wake up in the middle of the night, type out a message in all caps, and then forget she had done it didn't fit her at all. That was what made the conversation the next morning take a turn. At first, her roommate only brought it up because he assumed she had a reason for sending it. Maybe she had heard something in the apartment. Maybe she thought someone was outside. Maybe she had just been awake and impulsive. But the second he showed her the message, she was confused in a way that was difficult to fake. She insisted she had never sent it. He assumed she was kidding until she asked to see it again. Then she checked her phone. There was nothing in her sent messages, no text, no draft, no sign that anything had gone out from her end at all. That was the first time either of them reacted to the apartment itself as if it might be part of the problem. Up until then, any strange thing could still be treated as random. Phones glitch, people misremember, messages disappear. None of it was impossible, and if they had been older or less busy or less used to brushing things off, they might have stayed with it longer. Instead, they did what most people do when something doesn't make sense but also doesn't demand immediate action. They laughed at it. Not because it was actually funny, but because treating it like a joke was easier than deciding it meant something. They made a few comments about one of them sleep texting without knowing it. or a bad signal doing something weird or some strange tech issue. Neither of them cared enough to figure out. By the time they left for class that day, the whole thing had already started to settle into the category of something odd that would probably stop mattering if they let it. For a few days, that seemed true. Nothing else happened that was clear enough to connect back to the message. The apartment felt normal. Their routines stayed the same. If anything, the longer things stayed quiet, the easier it became to decide they had overreacted to something that would have made perfect sense if they had cared enough to investigate it properly. Then the apartment itself did something that was harder to explain away. It happened on a hot afternoon after they had spent part of the day outside. She had always hated feeling closed in. So when she left the apartment, she had opened windows before going the way she often did, if the weather allowed it. That wasn't unusual for her. Neither was leaving the place unlocked if she knew she would be back quickly. It was careless in the way college students are often careless, but it was consistent with how she lived. When they came back, something was wrong before they even made it fully to the door. The apartment was shut up tight, not just the windows, which had all been closed, but the doors as well. Both the front and back had been bolted from the inside. That changed the tone immediately because there aren't many harmless explanations for being locked out of a place that should have been empty. If someone had been inside, there should have been signs of that. If one of them had forgotten and somehow imagined the windows being open, that still would not explain the bolts. They tried both entrances again, neither moved. At that point, they were no longer joking. They had to call maintenance to get them back in, and whatever explanation they were hoping would appear once the door opened never came. The apartment was empty. No one had been inside. Nothing obvious had been taken or disturbed. The windows were all shut and locked, exactly the opposite of how she had left them. That should have narrowed the possibilities, but somehow it made the whole thing worse by refusing to. If the place had been ransacked, at least it would have been a real-world problem with a real-world cause. If someone had been hiding inside, terrifying as that would have been, it still would have belonged to the ordinary kind of danger people know how to name. Instead, the apartment looked as though it had simply decided to close itself up behind them. After that, the text message changed in their minds. Before, it had only been strange. Now it felt connected to something, not because there was a clear line between the two events, but because it was no longer possible to put them in separate categories. The first incident involved communication, however impossible. The second involved the apartment itself behaving as if someone inside had acted on it, when no one was there to do it. That was the point where the place stopped feeling neutral. They didn't say that outright, at least not at first, but it showed up in small ways. Doors were checked more carefully. Phones were kept closer. Coming home at night took on a different feeling than it had before, not because anything dramatic happened every time, but because there was now a question sitting in the background that hadn't been there before. What else could it do? That question didn't make them move out right away, and it didn't turn the apartment instantly into some unbearable place to live in. Life still had to keep going. There were classes to get to, shifts to work, meals to make, papers to finish. People are good at adjusting to discomfort if it doesn't hit them all at once, and that was what they did. But the message remained the thing neither of them could really get rid of in their minds. A locked door can be blamed on a person even if you never find one. A window can be blamed on memory. A strange sound can be blamed on pipes, wiring, neighbors, old hinges, anything at all. A text message from someone's phone that doesn't exist anywhere on that phone is different. It doesn't just suggest presence. It suggests intention. That was what gave the whole thing its shape. Because if the apartment had only felt strange, that would have been one kind of story. If objects had moved or doors had shifted, that would have been another. But the text came first, and because it came first, everything that followed felt less like random activity and more like the beginning of something trying, however clumsily, to make itself known. At the time, neither of them could have said that out loud without sounding ridiculous. So they didn't. They kept living there, kept telling themselves there had to be explanations they just hadn't landed on yet, and kept pushing forward the same way people always do when the only alternative is admitting they may be living inside something they don't understand. That worked for a little while. Then the apartment started making it harder. After that, things didn't stop. They just changed. It wasn't immediate, and it wasn't dramatic enough at first to force a reaction. They still went about their days the same way, still left and came back on the same schedules, still treated the apartment like the temporary place it was supposed to be. But once something like that happens, it's hard to go back to not noticing things. Small details start to stand out, and even when nothing is happening, there's a quiet awareness that something already has. For a few days, though, nothing obvious followed. That almost made it easier to settle back into a normal routine, to convince themselves that whatever had happened with the text and the doors had been isolated incidents that didn't need to be connected to anything else. It didn't erase it, but it made it easier to put off thinking about it too much. That didn't last. The next thing was smaller on the surface, but it felt different in a way that was harder to ignore once they actually saw it. Her roommate had gone into her room looking for something and came back out, asking if she had moved anything around. At first, she assumed he meant something simple, clothes, books, something left out of place. But when she asked what he was talking about, he told her to come look for herself. There were several stuffed animals lined up along the window, not knocked over or pushed aside, not gathered in a pile, but arranged carefully across the sill in a straight line, all facing into the room. It didn't look random. It didn't look like something that could have happened gradually or by accident. It looked like someone had stood there and placed them one at a time. She hadn't done that. That was her first reaction, and it came without hesitation. There wasn't even a moment where she had to think about it or try to remember. It simply wasn't something she would have done, and more importantly, it wasn't something she had done without realizing it. For a few seconds, they both tried to explain it anyway. Maybe they had been moved earlier and just hadn't noticed. Maybe one of them had picked them up without thinking and forgotten. Maybe something had shifted and made it look more organized than it actually was. None of it made sense once they stood there looking at it. Things don't line themselves up like that. That was when the apartment started to feel different, not in a sudden, overwhelming way, but in a way that settled in and didn't leave. Before that, everything had still been something you could push toward coincidence or error or something external. This didn't feel like an accident. It felt like a decision. They didn't say that out loud, but it didn't need to be said. The next incident made it even harder to pretend otherwise. It happened at night when everything had gone quiet in the way it always did once the day was over. Her brother had come over to stay, something that had started happening more often after they had been locked out. It wasn't framed as needing someone else there, but it was clear no one was completely comfortable being alone in the apartment anymore. The ceiling fan had been on low, turning slowly enough that it blended into the background. It was the kind of thing you stop noticing after a while, just another part of the room doing what it's supposed to do. Then, without warning, it sped up. Not gradually, not in a way that matched how something mechanical normally changes speed, but suddenly and aggressively, as if something had forced it forward all at once. The blades blurred, the pull chain swung out, and for a second it looked like it might tear itself loose from the ceiling. They all noticed at the same time. There wasn't any delay or confusion about what was happening. It was immediate and obvious, the sound alone filling the room in a way that made it impossible to ignore. And then it stopped. Not slowly, not easing back down the way a fan normally would. It just stopped. The blades froze in place, the chain dropped, and the room went quiet again so quickly it didn't feel right. No one said anything at first. There wasn't a good explanation waiting to be said, and anything they could have said would have sounded forced. After a few seconds, someone suggested it was electrical, which was the easiest thing to reach for, even if it didn't really fit. Electrical problems don't behave like that. They don't start exactly when people are watching and stop the same way. They don't feel timed. That was the part none of them wanted to say out loud, but it was there anyway. After that, the apartment stopped feeling like a place where strange things occasionally happened and started feeling like a place where something was happening. That difference mattered more than any single incident. It changed how everything else was interpreted, even things that might have been normal on their own. A sound from another room didn't stay just a sound anymore. A door slightly out of place didn't stay just a door. Everything had context now, and that context pointed back to the same thing they had been trying not to fully acknowledge. Something in the apartment was interacting with them. They didn't get an answer to what it was. Instead, it became more personal. She started hearing her name. It didn't happen all the time, and it didn't happen in a way that could be easily proven to anyone else. It came at night, usually when everything had gone quiet and she was alone or close to it. The kind of moment where your guard drops just enough that you're not expecting anything. It always sounded just far enough away. Not loud, not distorted, not obviously unnatural, but just slightly off in a way that made it hard to ignore once she noticed it. It would come from down the hallway or from another room, just out of sight, just enough distance that she had to listen carefully to be sure she had actually heard it. The first time, she ignored it. The second time, she answered. There was never a response. That was what made it worse, as it wasn't just noise, it was directed. And by that point, there wasn't a way to separate it from everything else that had already happened. The text, the doors, the objects, the fan. Individually, each of those could have been explained away. Together, they didn't feel random anymore. They felt connected in a way that pointed back to the same beginning. The message that shouldn't have existed, sent before anything else happened, as if whatever was in that apartment had tried to reach out before it ever did anything else. But after that, they stopped trying to explain it. Not all at once, and not in a way that was ever said out loud, but it became clear pretty quickly that none of the explanations they had been reaching for actually held up. They could still say the words, electrical issues, coincidence, stress, anything that sounded reasonable enough, but it didn't change how it felt to be in the apartment anymore. Things didn't escalate after that in any big, dramatic way. If anything, it settled. That was almost worse. So there were nights where nothing happened at all, where the apartment felt completely normal again. And those were the moments that should have made it easier to dismiss everything. But by that point, nothing happening didn't mean what it used to. It didn't feel like peace. It felt like something choosing not to do anything. That difference stayed with her. They did eventually leave, not because of one final incident or something that pushed it over the edge, but because the place had already crossed a line they couldn't ignore anymore. Living there stopped feeling temporary in the normal way and started feeling like something they were waiting to get out of. Even after they were gone, that first night kept coming back. Not the doors, not the fan, not the voice, the text. Because it didn't fit with anything else in a way that made sense. Everything that followed could still be argued, even if the explanations didn't feel right. Objects can be moved, doors can be locked, things can malfunction, sounds can be misheard. But a message like that doesn't just happen. It came before anything else. Before they had any reason to think there was something in that apartment at all. It didn't follow the activity. It started it. That's the part she hasn't been able to shake. It wasn't random. It wasn't just something that happened to be there. Reached out first, and by the time they realized that, everything else had already followed.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.